It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, both here today. We're going to talk about the latest news from Barcelona, including the Nokia X. Paul and Mary Jo have some interesting stories about that. Is Microsoft charging less for Windows Phone? How about Windows? And some picks of the week, too. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 351, recorded February 26th, 2014. I'm just typing words. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free two-week trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com. Use the offer code Windows2. And by ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with ShareFile from Citrix. Try ShareFile today. For a 30-day free trial, go to ShareFile.com, click the microphone, and enter Windows. And by Personal Capital. With Personal Capital, you'll finally have all your financial life in one place and get a clear view of everything you own. Best of all, it's free. To sign up, go to personalcapital.com/Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we talk about everything going on at Microsoft. And it was 2013, I think we can safely say, was a banner year for this podcast. An amazing year full of juice.
We really milked that plant for all it was worth.
It was aloe everywhere. But now, ladies and gentlemen, here we are in 2014, and people are asking, can Microsoft keep up the torrid pace of news and innovation that it set in 2013? And clearly the answer is yes.
As long as you go by the theory that all press is good press.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll have no problems.
Hey, that's Paul Thurrott back from the ski slopes. We missed you, Paul.
I missed you as well.
Took two people to replace Paul last week. Daniel Urbino.
I had to school my children on the ski slopes last week. Yeah. They were disappointed to discover I can, in fact, ski.
Oh, man. Who knew that old guy could actually tear up a slope?
Sorry, guys. Get used to the view of my back.
You know, it's really nothing to be proud of you. Something, you're very fast at falling.
Right.
I mean,
gravity works well with me, Leo, is what I'm saying.
I'm just saying.
Right.
It's not like you're going uphill.
That's true. That was actually particularly difficult.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks to Peter Bright, Dr. Pizza, and to Daniel Urbino of Windows Phone Central, WP Central. They were great. But we're really glad to have you back. We always miss you when you're gone, Paul. And actually, you haven't been gone that much.
Yeah, I try to. Yeah.
He doesn't want to be Wally Pipped.
I don't know what that means, but
it sounds good, though, doesn't it?
Sounds like something I don't want to.
He was the Yankees' first baseman before Lou Gehrig showed up.
Ah, gotcha.
Took one day off, never played again. Right. So here we are at the beginning of a new year with many new things to talk about. Mobile World Congress is going on. Last year, you were in Barcelona purely by accident.
Sort of, yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't planned. Do you wish we were there right now?
Yeah, sort of. You know, the weird thing about this week for me is I actually don't mind that I'm not at this trade show. Trade shows mostly kind of suck and are tiring. But a lot of people I know from Microsoft and in the press and whatever else are there. And so I don't care about what they're writing on their websites. But what I do get to see is what they're doing on Facebook. And that is vaguely irritating because there's some good restaurants and things.
Oh, over there, so. one of the best cities in the world. Yeah. But I think also a lot of big announcements. And I know you would have been the first on your feet during Stephen Elop's speech to say, damn you, Nokia. Yeah, damn you.
No, I would have said, what is it? Emperor Tyrannus. And I would have jumped on the stage.
Six Emperor Tyrannus. you were tweeting a little bit about the whole thing. So I thought, by the way, and I want to commend Stephen Elop because we've seen some mighty bad presentations from companies like Samsung,
and even Apple has lost.
By the way, was it the S4 announcement last year that had the song, the dancers?
Yeah, S4.
And the,
yeah.
That
yeah.
was the dumbest, the worst freaking thing I've ever seen in my life, press event ever.
Set a new low.
Yep.
That will be, companies will be hard pressed to accomplish. I kept thinking on Samsung's announcement this week, where's the dancing kid? Where is the tap dancing kid?
Yes. Right.
It's just
where's the cast from Chicago? Yeah, it was. I will never.
Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Well, Samsung insane. Apparently learned because we were a little worried because at the beginning of the Samsung event, which was on Monday, we were a little nervous because it started with chamber music. They had a whole orchestra there. And we thought, oh, this doesn't bode well. The Broadway
sets.
No,
they reined it in.
But they reined it in.
Yeah.
Nevertheless,
they had some dancing band-aids, but they didn't.
Yeah, right. They could, yeah,
well, I reined it in, you know, within reason.
So, but I began this to say that I thought Mr. Elop did a very nice job of the Moto X announcements. He had more phones to announce than almost anybody. He had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think 5 phones to announce. Did it all in 45 minutes. Did not do a lot of fluff. Did not do a lot of hype.
And by the way, he being Nokia, usually do a pretty good job.
Great job. Positioned them, I thought, quite well.
Yep.
They started with the 220, which is now. By the way, this is still the Nokia that is owned by a Finnish company.
Right.
Yeah.
This is not the post Microsoft Nokia.
No.
Not yet.
That still has not been approved, that transaction.
And in fact, Mary Jo thinks this might have something to do with what you saw.
Perhaps.
Yes. So they announced the 220, which is a very, very low-end 35-euro device for the poorest countries.
This is a dumb phone. This is the Nokia-branded...
Feature phone, yeah.
Phone. Is it a feature phone or just a phone?
Yeah, I mean...
So are you talking about an Asha phone?
It's not an Asha, is it? It's a...
Right. No, there was one that wasn't even an Asha phone,
yeah,
right?
The 220.
It was just a Nokia phone.
But I think it is Symbian of something.
I think these things are in boxes of Cheerios when you're living like Nigeria, Mongolia, or something like...
That was the 220.
They just pop out with the milk, you know?
They did announce a new Asha model. We don't really care about any of that. And Microsoft will own both those phones when the acquisition goes through.
Lucky them.
it's a market. These are big markets. But then the Moto, I'm sorry, I want to say Moto X's, the Nokia X's, the XXL and the X Fit and the X, I don't know what else.
They're going to have a U.S. version. It's going to be called the 2XL.
Programmer size.
You know?
Actually, so that was one thing that we learned, that there is no U.S. version for these. These are really phones designed for emerging markets. They are, but
well,
this is...
By the way, the interesting little side note there is not available in North America.
Yeah.
Not available in Japan.
Yeah.
And I want to say the third place was Hong Kong or Taiwan or something.
Korea.
So that says to me that it could be available in Europe.
Could be.
It is going to be, I think, in some countries, at least.
No, it's not completely emerging markets, but it's, price-sensitive markets, maybe.
They call them growth markets.
Yeah, right? I think that's a better one.
Call them third-worldy markets, you know.
Third-worldish. I think growth is a good way to put it, because really what's going on here is that much of the growth for smartphones has happened in Europe and America and Asia. But there's a lot of growth still to go in other parts of Asia, like India and China and Africa. There's a lot of growth to go. And so that's, I think, why growth markets is a good way to put it. These are the markets where smartphone saturation hasn't hit. I thought, now, you guys completely disagree with me, but I thought these were a very credible attempt.
Mary Jo may not completely disagree with you. How do you feel about these phones?
So the first thing I want to say before we talk any more about this is I'm not defending what Microsoft's doing with this and Microsoft's
appeaser.
Microsoft hasn't done anything with this, right?
Right. But so many people attacked us on Twitter this week saying, like, I can't believe it, just because I was trying to explain what was announced, I was attacked like, I can't believe you're backing the play. I'm not backing the play. I just want to say that. I'm just explaining the play.
I will back the play. Mary Jo and Paul, don't back the play. I will back the play. I think this is exact. Okay, so let's talk about it then. So it seems to me these are phones designed to be very low cost to get people into the Microsoft ecosystem of Bing and OneDrive, of Xbox Music. This is to ease them in gently. They are Android phones, I admit, but there's no Google mobile services built in. It's all Microsoft mobile.
But I don't understand. You know, so I get that these are very price conscious markets. I get that it's possible these devices will come down further. There'll be other ones, whatever. I get all that stuff. But, you know, how much could Windows Phone cost? I mean, and how much could Windows Phone cost Microsoft when Microsoft owns Nokia? I don't quite understand.
So you believe that what they should have done is instead of using Android, they should have just done it with Windows Phone.
Yeah, I mean, I would even say if you look at Nokia X and its kind of simplified UI that they have, why couldn't that be a front end on top of Windows Phone? I mean, why not run that? Why not? You already have all these Windows Phone apps. I don't understand.
I don't think this is about the cost of the operating system. I don't. I think this is about Microsoft base. Sorry, I keep saying Microsoft. I should be saying Nokia. Nokia saying we're never going to catch up on apps to Google. And I think the play is actually about apps, and it's not about
100%.
The OS.
In fact, that's why Elop made a big deal about how easy it would be for developers to modify their apps so that they could be in the Nokia app store.
Right.
But why would they?
They say, why would you? Because if it's one more market. If it takes
Growth
you eight
markets.
Hours. Yeah.
Growth
if it takes
markets.
You 8 hours to put your app
I don't think
in that
there's anything that separates. The problem is if Google decides to jump into this market, it's over. If Google offers Google Play services in the same markets, it's over.
Well, you know? Perhaps. But first of all, Google got out of the mobile phone business pretty effectively. Second, this is they can steal a jump on Google. You're right. If they don't do it, Google will. So if you're going to try now. Go for it.
Yeah.
I agree. I think sort of turns the Chrome OS thing on its head, right? It does.
Let's
use their stuff against them kind of thing. It's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think it gives
also,
Windows
Also, somebody's
phone.
Saying one more thing. Windows Phone, multiple SIM support.
Well, that's coming in A1.
It's not there now.
Yeah. Well, but it will be there by the time these phones ship.
It will? I mean, okay. All right.
Yeah. I don't think it's again is about the hardware, and I don't think it's about the operating system. I think it's about the apps, and I think this gives Windows Phone developers. Of course, it makes them angry. I would be angry too if I were one of you. But it also gives you a chance to make your app better, so that people will, you know, they might try the Google version, but if you have an app that's comparable or better, it gives you an audience entryway. Like you're going to see your apps before these people. In the store who might only know about Google apps, and now they have a chance to look at your app too.
I think this is good for, I'm surprised developers would be angry. That's a short-term point of view. I understand they are.
There's so much here though. I mean, you know, all of the rumors about this thing were basically wrong, right? At one point, some people believed that this was going to be, that this was something old, you know, that they had been working on Android before they did Windows Phone and that this was some kind of legacy from that. Some people, myself included, assumed that this thing was an Asha replacement and that, you know, okay, that makes a certain amount of sense. Bringing this in as yet another mobile phone platform at Nokia is a little strange. I mean, especially given the timing, you know?
Yeah. Well, obviously this is stuff done long before the acquisition deal happened.
By the way, over on the Microsoft side, we're talking about three OSs are too much.
Yeah.
Now we have six. You know, I mean, it's.
I think.
It's a little
I think.
Strange.
I think you're going to look back in 3 years and say it was a brilliant move, because and here's a scenario I see. You're going to move a lot of people with their first smartphone into the Microsoft services sphere. Admittedly, not the Microsoft OS, but remember, it looks a lot like Windows Phone. And then it will be a natural step for them. You got lock-in. Apple learned this. You got lock-in. People don't care about operating systems. That doesn't matter. you've got lock-in. You've got them in OneDrive. Yeah. You've got them in Xbox Music. You've got them in Bing Search. And now they're going to look at their next phone. They don't care what operating system it is.
As long as their stuff is there.
As long as their
actually,
stuff
is there. Actually, that I agree with. I will say that, especially in this market, you know, you spend $100 on a phone, $125 on a phone, whatever it is. That's not where anyone's making money, ever. Yeah. You know, there's no money being made on that thing. The money is made on the services, the lock-in type stuff. You know, it is that stuff. And I agree with that. If you're using Outlook.com for email, using SkyDrive, using Skype, all that kind of stuff. I you want those people to stay on your platforms. That's more meaningful than the OS. I mean, this is kind of the argument we make about Windows too. You know, and how there isn't a lot of new application development on the desktop and. You know, that's just the reality. So what's more important here? Do we push Office everywhere or do we worry about this Windows brand that's sort of a legacy traditional thing?
And I think that this is them saying we've got to do this before Google does, because the same lock-in can happen on a true Android experience with a Google phone if Google should do it. So do it now. Get them. This is a race at this point.
Yeah.
And if you're a Windows phone developer, this is going to be good for you.
But
I feel
less weird about this if Microsoft wasn't buying Nokia. You know, if that one thing wasn't happening, I think 50% of my issue with this would just be blown away. Microsoft inheriting this thing is so weird.
I bet you. In fact, you know this happened. Stephen Elop walked into Satya Nadella's office and said, look, we've got these. We can announce them. We can take a write-off. What do you want me to do? And I think this is Nadella's strategy. This fits. What is Nadella all about? Devices and services.
Yeah. I think this predates him, though.
This is Ballmer's last?
Yeah, I do. I think if you look at the actual wording of the press release when Microsoft agreed to buy Nokia, it was very vague around Nokia mobile devices. Mm. I think Microsoft... And I've seen some other people say this. It's not me originating this idea, but some people said maybe Nokia went to Microsoft and said, buy us because we're about to launch an Android phone. And if you don't, we're going to be up against you.
Well, that was the rumor, wasn't it?
Yep. Play hardball, right?
At the time.
Maybe Stephen Elop said, listen, I want to be CEO. And if I'm not, I'm launching a line of Android phones. And you can go screw yourselves.
People say that too. I don't agree with that one.
But. I mean, that's crazy, obviously.
The kernel, what does it matter what the kernel of the operating system is, as long as you get in the Microsoft ecosystem? I think it's a win.
By the way, so you're right, but I just want to be clear to an entire generation of Microsoft people and to people who follow Microsoft. What you just said is heresy, and we are going to burn you at the stake for that.
but I think Satya Nadella recognizes, and maybe Ballmer did too, and after all, it was Ballmer that renamed the company a devices and services company, that the platform is no longer desktop software, operating systems. It's services. That's the platform.
And I've been saying this forever. I mean, devices doesn't mean always Microsoft devices. I mean, there will be Microsoft devices, but what it really means is Microsoft software running on devices, and sometimes... those operating systems are going to be made by Apple. They're going to be made by Google.
Exactly.
I think you have to go back to Leo's point, which is really good. It's like, which of the two things is stickier for users, services or the apps, right? So if you put an Android phone with Google apps running Microsoft services into the market, you get people stuck on SkyDrive and Xbox Music and SkyDrive, OneDrive. You know, get them hooked into these things, Outlook.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
Finally, when it's time for their next phone, they're going to be like, I need something that runs those services. I think that's the hope.
So if you're a Windows phone developer, what you should be looking to do is making sure you have a version on the Android Nokia Android store.
That's a little bit of a leap, by the way. I mean, this is one area I've not looked into, but what is Nokia's developer story for Windows Phone developers on this platform? Is there some porting tool, some cross-platform something?
I haven't heard a story for Windows Phone developers.
Basically need to learn how to program for Android.
The people they're going after are the Android developers.
Who really? I mean, come on. Okay, which would you rather have? The Windows Phone developers or the Android developers?
And you know, they've already got the Windows Phone developers.
Which group do you want?
No, I have to take that stance, Leo. I hear you. I guess is what I'm saying.
They will have a back porting kit, right?
The thing is,
something like that.
I've often thought this for the Apple stuff, too. Microsoft's developer tools are so much better than anything that's out there in the world. And that if they could create a situation where you could have a project that would make an iPhone app or an iPod app or an Android app and share code, it would be amazing. It would be amazing.
We will know over the next few months if that's what's going on. You'll go to build and you'll see that, right? I mean,
I bet we will.
Yeah. So you'll know if this is a strategy, if this is a long-term strategy. Here's the risk, and the chat room has already pinpointed it. If you do get developers moving over to Android, then you might as well write off Windows Phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are we still making Windows Phone? Why don't we just make Android phones? Yeah. But I wouldn't do that because I think Windows
Phone
is... Listen,
Martin Luther, getting tired of your attitude over there.
Okay, you're going to like this. Windows Phone is probably the best mobile operating system out there. It's clean, it's fast, it's efficient. The only thing lacking right now in the ecosystem is apps.
Yeah.
Microsoft's services are the most important part to them going forward. Yeah. They need to make an enterprise phone that works with their services. They need to get a growth markets.
I keep waiting for the little things. You know, those Bing apps that I think you guys probably talked about last week, showing up on iPhone and on Android. You know, things like that. I mean, these are not tectonic shifts or anything, but I think when you see those kinds of apps start appearing from Microsoft, that's going to indicate, you know, that the tsunami is coming, that you know, these are the early warning signals, you know?
Yeah. You know, I'm going to say something, a more blasphemy here, but I think the way to cover Microsoft these days, if you're a Microsoft reporter and if you're a Microsoft developer or a customer to think about them, is everything that you think is the opposite of what you always knew is true is now the reality. Like, we shouldn't be surprised.
It's bizarre world.
It's bizarre world, right? And I saw so many people right up until Nokia announced these phones, these X phones, they were saying, this is not going to happen. There is no way this is going to happen. And all the evidence was to the contrary. Again, you're going to see Microsoft do things like Office on the iPad. You're going to see things that we never thought we would see. But just remember, it's a really different Microsoft than the Microsoft we all know as the Windows and Office company.
It's like watching a chimp ride a bicycle.
No. It's the first good news about Microsoft in years, yeah. I think. It's the first thing that Microsoft's done that gives it a future.
Wow.
The part, again, I think is the hardest part that they haven't made a good sell on is, what do you tell your developers who bet on your platform, the people
right.
who
and
like,
what's the transition plan here? That's part of what I was trying to bring up earlier.
You're right, but when has Microsoft really shown much care for those people?
Oh, they love developers, and they have. I mean, they've made some mistakes, you know, like Silverlight, right?
They love developers, but developers by and large have not followed them to these newer platforms. We've been talking about this forever. Yeah. You know, it started kind of with Longhorn. I mean, basically, the first attempt to get by Win32. Everything has had kind of a muted response. And as they move forward with, you know, .NET and the WinFX stuff that turned into whatever, I don't really follow the transition there, Avalon and, you know, WPF and WCF and yada, yada, yada. And now we have WinRT and WinPRT and all this stuff. I mean, it's a lot of churn, a lot of similarities, some good languages, you know, TypeScript now and C# and all that stuff. It's all great, but none of this stuff applies to Android at all. I mean, that's going to be the interesting bit. Maybe that's what happens to Build. Maybe they start talking about that stuff. I mean, that would be another part of that tsunami. You know, if that's the next transition, you know, we're on the part of the map that has a picture of a dragon on it. We don't know what's going on out there. You know?
Chris Woodruff brings up a really good point. When we were talking about the developer strategy, you know, who was all in the camp here this week was Xamarin. Right, Xamarin's already got tools to help
people.
This
is good news for them, for sure.
Right, so they're helping people port apps.
Someone on Twitter made the. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, Xamarin's already got components for people to start porting apps to the Nokia X. Microsoft and Xamarin have been getting tighter and tighter ties between the two, so maybe Xamarin's a part of this strategy to kind of bridge.
We hung around with Miguel last year at Build for a little while, and Microsoft has been trying to get him over there for literally a decade.
Miguel de Acasa, who was for a while a Linux widget developer,
but he's all
did the first .NET
on Linux,
and then Xamarin is now .NET everywhere.
So he's an awesome guy and obviously a smart guy. But I mean, if this is what they're doing, that needs to become part of the Microsoft stack. I mean, I...
And Web 9405 in the chat room makes a good point. Nokia X is nowhere going to eat Microsoft Windows Phone market share, is it?
Well, except for one thing. So, and that's part of something we'll talk about a little in a little while. So, yeah, I think when you look at the market now, you say, well, you know, these things aren't really competing in the same place. Actually, that's not completely true. And so we'll get to that.
Okay.
Next topic. Good.
I think. So remember how I began the show? Oh, 2013. What a year. What a banner. 2014 is going to be even more interesting.
Yeah, it's February.
You're you know? Watching a company in transition. We've seen so many companies like Kodak attempt to make a transition like this and fail. But sure. I am very impressed. I feel like this is what Microsoft needed to do. It recognized, perhaps a little late, but it recognized that desktop software wasn't the future.
Microsoft may fail at all of this stuff, but I think you could even go back to Windows 8 as much as we may hate to give credit there. But you may disagree with the whole Windows 8 strategy, and you may not like Windows 8 and all that, and I get that. But give them a little bit of credit for saying, we need to move quick and do this. We got to do this right now. Like, we need to change this now. And I think a lot of us don't like the way it turned out. But, you know, this is a company that by all rights should be moving as slowly as possible and protecting its turf and circling the wagons and all whatever that is. But they are getting out there and doing this stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, remember John Thompson, who was leading the CEO search, supposedly, according to the Wall Street Journal, said to Ballmer, we have to stop being so slow.
Right? Yeah.
You got to make some decisions here and let's go. And they've been doing that since last year.
And that means being bold. And you know what? It does fail. Nobody's saying it's not. It's foolproof.
Yeah, it could fail.
And and Paul is very aware and is of all the risks because that's his that's the kind of guy he is.
Risk of risk.
It's not going to go
I have
well.
More change. And I'm afraid of risk. Yes.
But, you know, and I, you guys are, you know, this is your beat.
Right.
And so you're way ahead of me on this one, but I like it when a plan comes together and I'm slow.
I love to think there is a plan.
And you have history that shows that maybe there isn't, but I just think, you know, sometimes you see disparate moves by a company and then suddenly they start to make sense. And I think that that's the stage we're going to be in for the next few months. And we'll see if it's a build. And you're right, Paul. Honestly, history is not good, but maybe.
Mary Jo and I both talked to different parts of the company at different times. And I think that she would agree that one of the things you hear from a lot of these people, whether it's, you know, maybe the Link guys or, you know, Office in general or whatever, they really do talk about how this devices and services thing is a big deal for them and how important it is and how it impacts. It's not just some baloney that the mothership's talking about, like, you know, we're putting our apps everywhere that it makes sense. And, you know, there are many things you could look back on 2013. But if you were to compare, say, the Microsoft mobile app collection that was available at the beginning of last year to the beginning of this year, I think you would see astronomical growth there on both iOS and Android, you know, not just Windows.
Yeah. And Microsoft was at risk of losing everything. You know, the world was changing out from underneath it. And the fact that they, you know, they're not famous for being quick on this. They didn't recognize the internet until 1995.
And even then, they were kind of half-assed.
Even then, they weren't sure they believed it.
Yeah.
But this
really went with everyone's favorite browser program, Spyglass, what's it called? Seriously. Like, I wrote a better browser in Visual Basic 3, you know, than that thing. But anyway, okay. But, you know,
I think the biggest risk in this whole bold strategy is whether or not users in these growth countries want Microsoft services, right?
Yeah.
Do they really want to go to the Nokia store, or do they already have stores that they're using and comfortable with?
Maybe you're looking at it from the wrong angle.
Don't
though,
you presume
right?
they're coming from feature
Nokia
phones?
Devices?
Yeah. I mean, they're coming.
They may just use what comes on the phone.
Right.
In other words, if you get a Nokia device.
Yeah. Nokia has said they're going to support third party app stores for these devices, and there's going to be side loading of apps possible too. But yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking, like, in China, do people want OneDrive? Do they want Xbox Music, or have they already decided on services that are different from this, and it's going to be hard to unseat those?
Well, you're screwed if that's the case anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever you
do.
Right. Okay. You're right. It could be over anyway.
Well, but now you're on the device next to that stuff.
But go all in on Azure. This is it.
Yeah.
So I don't know how these new phones are set up, but I would imagine that they're set up to back up your photos to OneDrive or something like we have a Windows phone. And, you know, frankly, if that's something that's built in and easy to enable and it's not something you can enable on some other storage thing on that phone, then you're going to use that and suddenly you've got a reason to care about OneDrive because your stuff is there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a bold strategy. Definitely bold. And, you know, we have been hearing talk right up until Mobile World Congress, and we're still hearing it, that even the Windows teams and the Windows phone teams inside Microsoft have thought about and have explored and are exploring the idea of putting Android apps on those devices. So it's a totally new world, crazy new world. And maybe this Nokia X strategy will give them some either clues or ideas, leverage, or maybe they won't need to do this now because of those devices. So yeah, it's all, everything's in play.
And that's the world that Satya Nadella is inheriting. And I think a bold strategy is called for. And I think it's interesting that John Thompson was calling for this in a way, right? Let's move.
Yep.
Move.
Right.
The Ballmer transition kind of all makes sense.
We're both kind of like, maybe.
You're
kind of,
yeah, I was like, okay. That's it.
Well, isn't Nadella a services
sure.
Enterprise guy? Mm-hmm. What I was afraid of...
The problem is we haven't really heard. I mean, there's been a lot of vague talk, right?
We haven't heard.
Yeah, mobile first device. Yeah, we get it.
He said software, though.
Yeah, and I like that.
Software.
I like that.
I feel like... You're right. We don't know this guy.
I don't know. Maybe Build is going to be the first big...
This is the thing to watch is Build.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he shows up at Build, right?
He should. Oh, he should.
Totally.
Did Ballmer not show up at Build?
No, he did. That was awesome.
Last Build.
That was his best keynote ever.
Yeah,
he did the keynote.
Nadella's got to be there.
Yeah.
Yep.
For me, and this is selfish because, you know, my only interest is that we get an interesting story to tell for years to come.
Oh, Leo, this is going to be interesting no matter what happens.
Right, exactly.
I can guarantee you that.
I feared a fairly dull story. Microsoft's been a dull story for some time. Witness the stock price. Last year, it shook everybody up. I feared a Microsoft that moved into IBM territory, that just became an enterprise company.
Listen, there's an inherent hypocrisy to my advice. You know, maybe Microsoft should give up on the consumer stuff. I mean, they're so good at the business stuff.
Right,
The second they do that, they become incredibly uninteresting.
Boring. And then you're stuck.
Wait a minute, guys. Forefront, come on. Let's get real here.
Mary Jo loves
enterprise
the enterprise.
Is not boring. SharePoint?
Too much Hadoop. I can't take it.
That's why you're here, Mary Jo. You're here to remind us that enterprise can be scintillating.
Enterprise pays the bills, my friends.
It does.
Let me just provide some loadout advice for Call of Duty.
Hey, I've been playing Titanfall. I was pissed, though.
Yeah.
I didn't know that the beta would run out.
Yes.
So I only played a couple of rounds. I did the whole tutorial. Yeah, it was brief. Yeah. I'm pissed. Now they got me, though. March 11th, I'm in line at GameStop. Anyway, speaking of loadouts. Okay.
Yes.
Because that's kind of part of the fun of it. You can hear can you hear the rhythm of the falling rain?
No.
Telling me what a fool I've been.
Is it really raining?
Yeah, pouring.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're happy. We need it. You know, it's been it's horrible. It's been like 75 degrees every day and the sun's been shining. It's terrible.
Stop.
I'm doing
Leo.
It. That's so mean.
It's only been 22.
Speaking from the one part of the planet that has been experiencing lower than normal temperatures for the past 6 weeks in a row.
I'm mean.
I'd like to kindly suggest that you go. No.
It was snowing here again this morning.
I'm a bad, bad man. I know. I'm just teasing you.
You're a bad
man. You know it's 8 Good degrees Morning out today, right, Leo?
Yes, I do. I watch Good Morning America just to look out the window. I don't look at the show or the anchors. I just look out the window and say, oh, look at that Times Square. It's snowing there. Look at that.
I actually think the northeast part of this country is sinking into the ground and is just going to disappear.
We're going to take a break, come back with more. There is so much to talk about. I love it. And that's why, from a purely selfish point of view, I just want Microsoft to shake the world up. Just shake it up.
Right.
And that's what they're doing. But that's exciting. And I think Build will be so interesting this year. You guys are coming down, right?
Yep.
Yeah. We should do something at Build. Be fun.
We're just talking about that. Yeah, we got to figure that out.
Yeah. Our show today brought to you by Squarespace.com, the all-in-one platform that makes it easy for you to create your own professional website, online portfolio, blog, online store. We love Squarespace. I've used it for years, and it just gets better and better. It's hosting plus software. And because they control both, they can give you new features practically, you know, all the time. They've released more beautiful templates, 25 total. Now, you may say, well, only 25, does that mean there's only 25 different looks? No, that's the other guys. A template, when you talk about Squarespace, is a starting point. What do you want to do? Do you want to do are you a photographer and you want a full bleed, you know, edge-to-edge website that looks great on any size screen? Try Momentum. But, okay, so there's the template, but then scroll down and you'll see customer sites, real websites that are using Momentum, and they're all unique. No two Squarespace sites look alike because it's so easy for you to make them your own. And that's one of the things I love about Squarespace. Go visit Squarespace.com. You can try it absolutely free. Click the Get Started button. You don't need to give them a credit card or anything. You have 2 weeks to do the run of the place. The first thing you'll do is pick a template. They have importers that allow you to import from all the major blog APIs. So you can actually not just pick a template, but populate it with all of your stuff that you've done so far, including the comments, including images. All the links continue to work. They have a wonderful, they've just released this, and this is all, this just comes with it, a logo design tool that lets you very easily, if you're a small company or an individual and you don't have a designer on staff, create your own design tool. It comes with all the Google fonts. It comes with hundreds of incredible icons that you can use. Oh, I like that. you can see what it would look like on a T-shirt, what it would look like on a screen, what it would look like on a business card. This is the logo design tool. You can add a tagline, Netcasts you love. And, I mean, you live. Netcasts you live. I love it. Pick another font here from the Google font. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be doing this. Shouldn't be wasting your time playing around with this logo design tool, although it's kind of fun. I do enjoy it. Here's the deal. Go there. Try it 2 weeks. If you have any questions as you use these tools, they've got great live chat and email support 24/7. Completely redesigned customer help site. They win awards for their support all the time. They've got webinars that you can watch, video workshops, self-help articles. Every single site you design on Squarespace can do e-commerce. Even the $8 a month site, which is great. Because that means it's inexpensive, and if you're a nonprofit or you're doing a school fund drive, you can easily design a site at Squarespace for very little money and take donations. If you want to do full e-commerce, unlimited e-commerce that includes shipping help, real-time carrier shipping, label printing via ShipStation, integrated accounting from Xero, you get the developer platform. Whenever you sign up for a year, not only do you get a discount, of course, on the monthly cost, but you get a complete custom domain name for free, and they'll hook it all up for you. I just can go on and on, but you've got to try it. It's absolutely free. Oh, I almost forgot the great apps, the Metric app that allows you to check site stats like page views, unique visitors, social media follows, the blog app. Gorgeous code, a great price structure, starting as low as $8 a month with the annual plan. $24 a month for everything, including e-commerce, unlimited, and they don't take a cut of your purchases. You keep it all. If you decide to buy, use our offer code Windows2. It's February, so Windows2, and you will get 10% off your new account. A beautiful web awaits you. Squarespace.com. Get started today. Leo Laporte with Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. We're talking Microsoft and Windows and phones. You know, one thing we didn't talk about, do you think Microsoft, A, knew about it? Yeah. B, supported it? Or C, do you think they're just going to say, as soon as this acquisition goes through, which I guess is what soon, they'll go, okay, thanks, guys, and That's it for the moto. For the
they had to talk.
They had to know, right?
They definitely
not just
know.
No. They definitely knew, but they had to have talked about the future.
But wait a minute, isn't there a as I remember when there's an acquisition, a quiet period where it's Microsoft does not get to say to the company they're acquiring what to do. They can't give them.
Oh no, of course not. You can't. But no. But come on. I mean,
the day these phones were announced, Skype announced they had a version of Skype to support them.
Oh, okay.
They talked.
Okay. There you go. That's a way of tacitly giving approval, isn't it?
Yeah. And also, they had the developer day for Nokia at the second day right after the phones were announced. And Microsoft people were presenting at that.
Right.
So they knew. Come on.
Well, I think I would take it a step further.
Right.
They didn't just know. I think this tells us tacitly that they're not going to get rid of it.
The Skype thing?
The Nokia X line. Like, in other words, they're not going to kill it the second the deal goes through.
Right.
I don't think so.
I would think.
No. You know what I was trying to remember, though? Remember when Microsoft actually made the offer to buy Nokia? There was a lot of talk about what Nokia would retain as a business and whether they could ever do their own handsets again at some point. Wasn't there a date when they could?
Soon.
Like 2015, right?
Soon.
I don't think it's that soon.
2016, maybe.
No, it's longer than that. Yeah.
But what I was thinking, you know,
there is a date. Yeah.
Yeah, they could keep these phones and then at some point transfer them back to Nokia once that date comes.
Yeah, Google sold Moto to Lenovo eventually. I mean, they could get rid of it.
Right.
A weird little plan, you know. We're going to buy your company and then we're going to give parts of it back.
Right.
Or they just keep it. I don't think they're going to kill it. I really, you know, and when I wrote a piece this week saying that, everybody attacked me and said, they have to kill it. You have to tell them to kill it, you know. And they've already decided what they're going to do, people.
Microsoft gets rights to use Nokia's name in connection with feature phones for 10 years. However, 2016, at the start of calendar 2016, Nokia can re-enter the devices market using its own name.
There you go.
January 1st, 2016.
But that's, listen, 2 years? I mean, come on. It's over. It's over.
Well.
Take everything you know and turn it on its head, Paul Thurrott.
I guess the question is, A, why Nokia wanted that, and why Microsoft allowed it.
I don't think Microsoft had a choice to allow it or not allow it. Right.
Well, no, but they could have said, look, you can do this. We're not going to work with you on this. We're not going to, when we buy you, we are going to kill it. So please feel free to waste your time. We can't stop you, but we will make you look stupid. I mean, I have to think that was, if that conversation had occurred, we wouldn't be seeing this.
And you know, a lot of people are saying, these phones are never going to come to market and it's just going to die because Microsoft's going to acquire Nokia in the next month and that's it. They're done. I think Nokia would not have had this huge developer event and invested all this time and effort into telling developers and already getting a bunch of developers to start porting if that was the intention.
I read a tweet the other day where I said, I hope the Nokia X doesn't come down with anything contagious, if you know what I mean.
I know. Microsoft did this too, right?
It'd be a shame if anything happened to you.
Yeah, remember, Microsoft did a lot to prime the market and retail and developers, everybody for the kin, and then they killed it in 30 days. So, or was it 30 days? No, it was less than 6 months, not 30 days.
It was a few months. But that one suffered from, I think, Verizon-related injuries as well. But
I don't know. I think this is going to stick around at least for some time. And I think if I were a Windows phone developer, I would just say, take it as an incentive to do even better apps and try to stick with it.
I don't like this new world, Mary Jo.
I know you don't.
It's just not. It's just wild. It's very interesting.
It's not good.
Microsoft made a very interesting deal for, and by the way, Nokia also continues to get billions of euros in license fees and patents every year.
Right.
So, I mean, this is a really interesting.
Actually, here's a question. Microsoft obviously collects Android related licensing fees from a variety of hardware makers.
Right.
Are those related to the, like, Android as we know it, Google services and apps plus AOSP, or is it related to AOSP only?
It's got to be AOSP. It has to be. I would guess base OS. It's that it goes back, I would guess, to Microsoft's suits over Linux. Mm-hmm. And because Linux is the heart of AOSP, and I would guess this has something to do with Microsoft's assertion that it owns some of the source code there.
Okay.
Remember they indemnified people who used Microsoft's Linux or?
Yep.
Yeah.
Microsoft's Linux?
Novell. It was Novell. They were indemnifying Novell customers. Remember that?
Because you're, it's very confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's assumed or it's thought, and I think this is fairly accurate, it's $5 or $6 per handset that Microsoft gets. So they make a lot more on Android than they do on Windows Phone.
Sure.
The next kin, coming soon to a growth market near you. Hey, Alan Mulally. As soon as he's not CEO.
Not yet.
There's more to say? Yep.
No, we got it. We have this Windows Phone story.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump ahead.
No, no, it's okay. It's just that this is kind of tied into what we were just talking about.
Yeah, because I was really under the impression that once Nokia was subsumed, that no one would make Windows RT or Windows Phone hardware except Microsoft. But that's not the case. In fact, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago.
Did you?
Well, I think you and I did.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant this story. Oh, right. Because this just happened.
Yeah. No, but I mean, you were saying, no, I don't know if they're going to lose all their... I thought for sure all the OEMs would say bye-bye.
But no one thought there were going to be more coming on board. Certainly not nine of them or whatever the number is.
Well, a lot of them are kind of... I've never heard of these companies. I mean, I don't know what they...
They're in growth markets.
Right. I mean, ZTE that's the thing. I mean, China. LG, we know.
Yeah. Longcheer, I think maybe India.
Yeah,
but my first question here is, why? This Windows Phone thing has been sitting here ready to be licensed for the past 3.5 years. Why now? You know what happened?
What?
Nokia owns 90% of this market. Microsoft is buying Nokia. Why would anyone want to license this thing?
Well, probably because Microsoft. Said
it was
they
never
could do
said,
it for
but
free.
I think it's licensing.
It's free.
Yeah.
I think they dropped the price down to next to nothing. Yeah.
Nothing.
Or zero.
Nothing.
Well, we don't know because no one has said. But certainly the price
is... The competitor is Android, which is free. Or AOSP, which is free. So And this is a good strategy on Microsoft's part. You got to get as many people hooked into Microsoft services
Possible. Do you find it interesting that no one ever said that that's what happened? They made this big announcement.
Well, it's free if you don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in other words... Here we are with Nokia doing this Nokia X thing, and they're saying, look, we have to target these growth markets. You know, cost is a huge issue, yada, yada, yada. This is the only way it's going to work. You guys have made very logical and believable arguments for why they should do that. And then Microsoft signs up like 9 new partners to use their OS for the same exact purpose in the same exact markets. Why couldn't a Nokia have done this?
Yeah, it may not just be the cost of the OS. I think we know that they've been talking about taking away the capacitive buttons on the front of the phone and making it so
cheaper to make.
Yeah, if you're a phone maker now, you could take your same handset and put Android or Windows Phone on it, right?
Yeah,
that plays in, I'm sure.
Yes, I do think that there will be things in Windows Phone 8.1 that make it more applicable to these kind of low-end devices. But you know what's interesting about this is what Windows 8.1 is doing on the PC as well. And it occurred to me, you know, we have a story a little bit later about the potential price drop on Windows 8 on low-end devices, you know, which PC devices. Maybe we're making an assumption here that those are only PC devices. Maybe Windows 8 is Windows 8, whether it's phone, PC, tablet, and that this price drop for these low-end devices, it matches very nicely to what they're doing on the PC side. It's all Windows. Maybe it's the same thing. Maybe this is, in fact, part of the same story. At low-end growth market, you can get Windows for next to nothing. Windows Phone.
Yeah. I think that makes sense.
I do, too.
The other thing you offer them, hey, guess what? We'll throw in the Android patent coverage for free.
Ah.
Yeah. Right.
Indemnity, how about saving some money?
Yeah. Yep. So it's even better.
Not to save some money, but save any potential legal, ongoing legal bills that you could get court for the rest.
And what does Microsoft get out of it? What they need, which is market share, particularly volume. For services, for Windows services. Then you can win over those, the hearts and minds, and their wallets will follow.
The one I'm really interested in the new list. So on the new list, like we already said, there's LG, there's ZTE, there's Lenovo. Interesting.
That's funny. Yeah.
I know. Lava, Longcheer, Foxconn as an original design manufacturer. But the one I'm interested in is HTC. They said HTC is going to make more Windows phones.
Good.
I know. Because since I had the 8X up until recently, I was like, yeah.
I think if you make a high-end handset like the HTC One, offering it in two flavors, Windows Phone or an Android, doesn't hurt.
Yeah. By the way, not just the high-end one, right?
Yeah.
HTC announced, I think just today, kind of a mid-range line of phones. It looks a lot like the HTC One. It's hard not to look at something like that and think, man, how awesome would a Windows phone, you know, that device running Windows Phone.
It's just hedging your bets.
It is.
It's just hedging your bets. It's a safe thing to do. And Microsoft, nobody wants to, still, to this day, I don't think anybody wants to annoy Microsoft.
Well, especially Nokia.
There would be the first one not to. Now I see an article that says licensing costs changed. Maybe this is, this is true.
Sasha
Segan, who's very smart.
He is. He's really good.
Yeah, but, he quotes a lot of kind of dubious sources, that's why.
That guy who's quoting some guy I've never heard of, who I think is an Android guy, saying, we're hearing Microsoft's going to drop their licensing fees by 70%. But that's also the rumored amount.
That's the PC story. That's the PC story.
Right, the PC one, right?
Right. So I added this at the last minute because it sort of verifies my assumption and guess. I noticed the same thing. It's a very dubious.
Here's
sourcing.
A fact, though, that I think is good to know, that in 2012, ZTE said Windows phones cost $23 to $30 to license. That's like the cost of Microsoft Windows on the desktop. That's expensive.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That's an awful lot.
That's too pricey. Yep.
Especially with Android out there free.
Yeah.
Well, Android, as ZTE might license it, might not be free, but it's probably not $23 a phone.
Do they? Well, actually, I wonder. Now, AOSP is free because you just take it, but it's open source. But
I'm thinking the Google Play stuff you're paying for.
Do you
for them.
Pay for the Google Play stuff?
I think so.
You have to go through a certification.
Or do you just pay with your soul by having to do certain requirements?
You sign in blood. They have to certify you. I don't know if it costs money, but
There have been a couple reports saying if you take the Google Play stuff on top of Android, that you have to agree to take a bunch of things together, right? Like you have to agree to take Google Plus.
So there's AOSP, which is the open source free stuff anybody can use, and Nokia used to fork. There's Google Mobile Services, GMS. You take it all or nothing. It's all or nothing. You can't pick and choose. You have to get certified by Google. But I wonder, I don't know if it costs you anything.
I think Google has said it does not. But again, the cost is you have to agree to take everything. And that's a lot of things.
It's a little more. Yeah, it's more than that. I mean, you have to position things in a certain way and present things on the phone in a certain way.
You know what it's like? It's like when Microsoft, back in the earlier Windows days, used to force OEMs to take a lot of things to get a cheaper price on Windows. And they get in trouble with the DOJ for that. But
it's a lot like that.
It's a lot like that. Yeah.
Well, they learn from the best.
Yeah. But nevertheless, we're saying the difference of $30 a handset, as much as that's a...
The profit margins on these devices have got to be non-existent. Yeah. So that's actually
a big deal.
Yeah. Yep.
So if it's that much, then I can see,
And by the way, that's no doubt why Samsung puts all that crap on those phones.
Right.
Because they want to get you involved in their little ecosystem.
Absolutely.
They're not really making a lot of money on the phone.
Right.
They're trying to get you involved with their stuff.
But their ecosystem sucks.
Oh, it's ludicrous.
Nobody
but I'm
wants
just saying,
to
but
use
I,
it.
But you know that's the plan.
Right. It's obvious. You look at one of these phones, it's just obvious. However, it's such a lousy ecosystem that strategy seems like a failure.
Yeah, it's got this cross-cultural disconnect that's just kind of bizarre. But
if a manufacturer produces over a certain number of phones, says Devoid. Then Google collects a fee, but they don't say how much. I don't know if that's...
I thought there was a fee tied to Google Maps or something like that. I don't want to just say that, whatever it is, because I don't know. But I have something in the back of my head where Google does, in fact, collect licensing fees on full-blown Android. And I just don't remember how or why. But
well, I think Microsoft does, too, right, for Bing Maps, if you're a developer.
If you use maps in your app, that's different than...
Than if you're putting it on the phone.
That's different than if you're just putting Google Maps on the phone. Google wants you to do it.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, so we, like Paul's saying, we never really knew what the true price was that they were offering OEMs. I mean, I've seen before reports of $15 per phone. I've seen $5 per phone. It probably depends on volume, for one thing. Just like Windows does too.
Yeah,
it's not
like there's a bunch of versions of Windows Phone. I mean, it's
right
out of an all or nothing deal.
Hey, we didn't talk about this, and we're kind of backtracking a little bit. But a good question from Jeff in the chat room: could those those Nokia X phones, are they spec sufficient enough to run Windows Phone? You don't need a whole lot of hardware to run Windows Phone, do you?
Right. I think the base hardware platform is fine for Windows Phone. Okay. I think what's missing are maybe some of the sensors.
Okay. Because that would be another
explanation. That's one of the complexities of Windows Phone. Microsoft doesn't document this very well for the public. And the specs have changed between Windows Phone versions. But there are things that you expect to see in a Windows Phone. For example, one example that's changed is the camera button. And so I don't believe there's been a Windows Phone without a hardware camera button. That's actually no longer part of the spec. You could ship a Windows Phone now without that button. I don't think anyone has. And in Windows 8, Phone 8.1, you can ship them without the hardware buttons on the front because they'll have software buttons. And so they've been kind of changing the spec over time. And so some things are optional and some aren't. And I don't have a complete list off the top of my head, but I suspect that these devices don't have some of the sensors that maybe Windows Phone licensing still requires.
We've actually never heard whether it's feasible to put the Windows Phone OS on those kind of handsets, right?
It's the same hardware platform, right? So Snapdragon, whatever. Yeah. You know, I don't know what the RAM is. I would imagine it's 512 or 1 meg or something.
Yeah, but Microsoft's never come out and said you can't put it on a handset of that size. Or I mean, in fact, when they were in Barcelona this week, they talked about how they're even lowering the requirements further. Yeah. For hardware.
So you address this exactly. That's what I'm saying. In other words, Windows Phone is literally evolving right now to address this market that Nokia had to make the X for. So I don't quite get it, but
it's all about the apps.
Yeah.
And by the way, Samsung's also doing phones that don't have Android, and Samsung service ties in phones. So, maybe there's another operating system. Ars Technica.
All the benefits of that Samsung crap with none of that Google stuff to get in the way.
Actually, Ars Technica just reviewed, and thanks to the chat room for this link, Samsung's Tizen OS, and they said an impressively capable Android clone.
Yeah, it looks like a DOS screen from 1993.
It looks pretty bad. It is not pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. It's an interesting world, and that's what we want as people who cover it.
You're like starting wars just so you can cover them.
Yeah. It's William Randolph Hearst. That's how we did it. We need a war to boost circulation.
I don't know. Apple and Samsung are going to be going to court soon. That'll be good.
Well, there's plenty to cover, believe me. Yeah. Microsoft and Ford, I was surprised to see this, although maybe it shouldn't be such a surprise. Ford's Ford Sync, which I had in my Mustang, was great, but and that's built on Microsoft's Car platform, which I think is a Windows CE platform. But and I don't know if the My Ford Touch, which Ford really got lots of criticism for, was Ford or Microsoft on top of that. My sense is it was Ford.
Yeah.
But it, for whatever reason, Microsoft
Ford has said that this is not Microsoft's fault.
Yeah, and I don't think it is because I think the Microsoft stuff's good. If you have basic Ford Sync, it's great. I've been very happy in my Mustang. It was the My Ford Touch stuff that they layered on top of it that wasn't very good, and that was them. Nevertheless, Ford has announced next generation car technology, telematics, is going to, in the Ford vehicles, is going to be based on BlackBerry's QNX. It's not a BlackBerry.
Somebody thought you couldn't be slapped any sillier. we're going to base our next generation platform on the Amiga.
But I wonder, was Microsoft Car being updated? Was it, I mean,
right.
It's Windows CE, right?
It's Windows Embedded. So that's operating system has a lot of different flavors. And Microsoft never did update the version of Embedded to Windows 8 for auto. They said they were going to, and then they didn't.
Okay. So
there's been a lot of speculation. Where are they getting out of the market? I hear they're not getting out of the market, but they're doing some tinkering with Windows Embedded Automotive and probably will have something new to resurface around next year.
Who else uses it?
Around Windows 9. Oh, a lot of other companies are using it. Let's see. I've got a list here. Nissan, Honda, BMW, Mercedes-Benz, Aston Martin, Kia, and Fiat.
Well, that's interesting. The QNX predates BlackBerry. They bought it.
Right. But that's a special operating system, a real-time embedded operating system.
It's a very good real-time embedded operating system.
And yeah. Remember, they bought it for their tablet.
Right.
And then to bring the BlackBerry up to speed with something modern. It was kind of like their next step play or whatever.
Right, right.
And both those products did great. So
I have QNX in my Audi, and you don't really see any of this.
You don't see it, right? Because it's just the UI is whatever the car maker puts on top of it, I would imagine.
Right.
So supposedly the reason that Microsoft and Ford parted ways was about cost is the story. That Microsoft wanted too much and Ford said no. And Microsoft said, well, we didn't really want to work with you anyways because you've kind of screwed up connected car stuff. So bye.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And plus, we're still mad about that whole Alan Mulally thing.
Yeah. It's funny it got announced right after the whole Alan Mulally was and wasn't in for CEO. Mm-hmm. And once, Ballmer and Mulally were friends, so supposedly Ballmer really wanted to make that Ford relationship work. Ballmer's out, Mulally's out. The relationship is done.
I don't know about those other vehicles, but Fords have a Microsoft logo on right underneath it on the dash.
Yeah.
Hardware logo. Yeah.
Well, Microsoft there are two examples of this where they customized it specifically for the automaker. And so Ford Sync was not something that some other car maker could get. It was made for Ford. And that's, I think, why you see that. And they did or are doing something similar for Kia, I think.
Yeah, Kia and Fiat, right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, in the sense that it's like what they did for Ford, kind of a full, they're doing most of it.
Now, some of those platforms you mentioned, car makers, are doing Siri, too. But it's not it's not a Siri OS. It's just integrating Siri into.
Right. Right. And of course, Google's got their thing, which I actually think is going to be very popular.
Right. In fact, I already announced that they're going to abandon QNX and go to Android next.
Yeah.
So this is one of those things where there's a real mismatch in the development cycles of cars and the development cycles of software. And so you're going to see a lot of stuff like that.
So Ford obviously targets, not always, but a lot of their cars target younger people. And you don't have to be young anymore, really, but younger people especially want technology integration. They want to be able to speak through the car to people on the phone. They want to be able to integrate their, Pandora that they may have in the phone or whatever. So it's a big deal for people. But, the car stuff always lags behind. Ludicrous,
And Ford is very much global. I mean, I guess all these companies now are global. But, the Ford's got to the point where the platform is the same everywhere. For many of their cars, for the Focus, the Fiesta,
I remember when Sync came in, it was just on like two or three models.
Right.
And then it kind of branched out from there. And you probably can't buy a Ford anymore without getting some form of this. Or at least it's available, certainly.
Moment of silence.
I've had a few of those today.
A little moment of silence for Ford Sync. Let me take a break. We're going to come back. We'll talk, in addition to the rumors about Windows Phone licensing fees going down, kind of related. In fact, it's in the same article here by Sasha Segan on PC Magazine. The cost of Windows 8 might be going down for some manufacturers. And Mary Jo has decided on a phone.
I did.
Can't wait to see which one.
But did you get a Jolla phone?
She's got an Asha. She likes it an awful lot.
Nokia X, it's right here.
Oh, that would just frost Mr. Thurrott.
I had to order it from overseas. It was really ponderous, but it was worth it.
It was awesome.
Our show today brought to you by Citrix and ShareFile. I have to say that I share a lot of files in my radio stuff. We're always sending audio files to stations. And, you know, hi, this is Leo Laporte. Whenever I'm in Muncie, I listen to Jerry and Todd in the morning. And things like that. And and when I do it, you know, I have to admit, you know, some of these stations I'm sharing files with are not super sophisticated technologically. I was using another solution. They kept erasing the files. And then the other stations would say, hey, there's no files in that folder. I fortunately, Citrix came along with ShareFile, and it's really saved my life. I use ShareFile all the time. ShareFile, of course, does all the things that those other guys do. You can sync folders automatically, things like that. You can email files. The one thing you don't want to do these days, I think, is attach files to email. And pretty much every business email these days does have something attached, contracts, spreadsheets, presentations. But frankly, the last thing you want to do is do it as an attachment. And yet people still do. It's a security risk. It's a privacy risk. And, you know, from a purely practical point of view, you know, if these files are of any size, you're often going to get bounce backs. ShareFile works great. I'll show you my ShareFile account. Let me log in here. Because you are not sending attachments. You're sending secure links to a file. It's branded. You see our Twit logo there. So it doesn't look like ShareFile. It looks like our own thing. These are the files that I've synchronized. I'll pick a file from one of the radio show people here. Let's see. Recordings. All right. So let's say I have to share this file. By the way, you see a file privileges here. You can have users who have automatic privileges to the folder, and you can say what they can do. I mean, really is granular as to the functionality. I'm going to send this file. Now, if you have Outlook, you can. There's an Outlook plugin, but they also allow you to send an email from the web interface. But I usually send them a link, and I'll do that now because I can show you all the parameters. I can say email me when the item has been downloaded. I can say require recipients to enter name and email before downloading so I can track them. I can control when the download expires, anything from a day to forever. How many downloads per user. So I could say, for instance, they can download this once, and they can never get it after that first day. Then I click the send file, and what I'm going to get is a secure link. It's a long secure link, and this is what they'll. So I'll attach that up, or I'll put it in the email rather. They'll click the link, and this is what they're going to get: a branded page with my logo, makes it very easy. A download button. That's it. They don't have to sign up for anything. They don't have to do anything. It's very, very straightforward. That's why ShareFile is really my choice now. Whenever I want to send files to anybody, radio stations anywhere, I want you to try it free for 30 days. Take a look at the security. If you're in the medical industry, if you're a doctor, it's HIPAA compliant. It's compliant with the regulations in many, many industries. That's why I want you to go to the top of the page where it says podcast listeners. Click here, that microphone at the very top, and pick your start your free trial. Pick your business. This is what I like, because if you choose the industry, you'll get a chance to see how the customizations work for that particular industry and how it applies to regulations in that industry and so forth. Go to ShareFile.com. 30-day free trial. No obligation. But do me a favor. Click. There are several places you can click, unfortunately. I want you to click the link at the very, very top of the window that says radio or podcast listeners. Click here because that's the one for you. And do use our offer code WINDOWS when you sign up so that Paul and Mary Jo get credit. ShareFile.com. It is the best way to share files in business on Windows, Mac, anything, because you can have a complete web interface as well. ShareFile.com. Moving right along, word is that on some devices, Microsoft's not going to charge as much for the Windows license, but it's low-end devices. What's the deal?
This is a Bloomberg report saying that Microsoft is thinking about dropping the price it charges PC makers, not phone makers, from $50 a copy that they pay Microsoft to put Windows 8 on a new device to $15.
Whoa,
a copy.
That's a big drop.
It would be, if that's true, it's a big drop, but only on machines of $250 or less.
Well, and
there
that
are
makes
not
sense.
Many of those right now.
And there's no margin. I mean, if you made a machine for $250 and you're paying Microsoft $50 of it.
I know. Yeah, but I mean, if you even go and look in the store right now, I was looking for what Windows devices are out there for $250 or less. I could only find two.
I'm surprised there was you an find Asus. Two. What are they?
Yeah, I found an Asus touchscreen laptop, a really low-end one that had been discounted to $249. And then I also saw the 8-inch Dell Venue Pro 2. The 8-inch Dell Venue 8 Pro, 32 gig model was at $249, also in a discount. That's it.
Oh,
yeah.
But
and those aren't, I mean, those aren't normal starting prices.
They're not
right,
normal so. Prices, right. And yeah. Also, you know, the question is, it would this, if Microsoft did take the price down to $15 a copy, would this suddenly mean there'd be a bubbling up of more machines that were $250 or less? Because OEMs supposedly would pass that savings on, right?
I think that's the goal. And I think that's why I think that this and the phone thing are the same thing. I think this is the same story, really.
I bet it might be the same story. When you when you said that, I was like, yeah, maybe it was confusing the phone and the PC.
Yeah, I'm really curious about this. I did hear this definitely is for PCs, though, because I think her story sort of intimated this. I heard it from a source that as part of this deal, you don't have to go through the hardware certification process and get that Windows logo, which comes with all kinds of good guarantees for users. And that sets up the possibility that these devices, and actually probability, that these devices won't be particularly reliable because Microsoft will not have certified the hardware and the driver combinations and will not be providing automatic driver updates via Windows Update. It's kind of an iffy new little product category. You know, if you thought Windows PCs had gotten too reliable, well, good news. we now have these really cheap devices, and they're not going to be reliable at all. Yeah, so
it's like netbooks, right?
It's a lot like netbooks. The difference between this and the netbook licensing, remember they had for Windows Starter, was that those machines had to meet certain requirements: screen size, amount of RAM, amount of onboard storage. These machines don't have to meet any of those requirements. The only requirement is it has to cost less than $250. If you want it to have a big screen or whatever other hardware components, that's fine. It just has to cost less than $250. It's really interesting. It is the modern netbook.
The other possibility is we've heard that when Microsoft comes out with Windows 9 codename Threshold, that there's going to be this new low-end modern SKU that doesn't have the desktop, and it's going to work supposedly on phones and on tablets and maybe PCs. Maybe that's the SKU that they're talking about that Microsoft's going to make cheaper. That'll be that modern one, and it won't be the other ones, right?
Okay,
the ones with the desktop. Maybe.
I do think that this is Windows and phone. I really do. I think these things are commingled. I think we've mixed up some things maybe in the reports, and you know we don't know because we don't know what's happening, but I bet this is all related.
How much does is $50 what it would normally cost for Windows?
Allegedly,
don't know.
No one knows.
No one really knows.
They have to have standard volume discounts, and
they do.
I don't think this. It's not like Windows is $50. You know, like I think it really. It's not like the old days where you could get sweetheart deals if you had a good relationship. But I think that they would at least have volume discounts at the very least, right?
My understanding from what I've known from covering Windows over the years is that the top 20 PC makers used to all get the same price after the DOJ kind of slapped Microsoft down for price gouging and unfair deals. But it was very standard. Like the top 20 all got the same price per device. The thing is, we don't know what that price is. Back in Windows 95 days, it used to be way over $100 per copy.
Yeah.
Over time, it came down and down and down. We don't know right now. I'm sure the OEMs know, obviously, but we reporters don't know.
PC sales for years and years have been going up and up and up. And so if you were to compare Windows license sales from like 1996 to 2006... you would have seen a dramatic increase in volume. And so the price coming down, Microsoft still could have made more money. We're not really seeing that anymore. So, I mean, we obviously PC sales kind of plateaued and then they fell. And we'll see if how far they go down. But
it's kind of it's amazing that we don't know this. It's just
It seems like it is. It's the weirdest secret. You'd think this would be out there.
There's a lot of hearsay about what the price is. I mean, people are always throwing numbers out there saying, I heard this from one of the top 20 OEMs. It's hard to know. We knew the old price because it became public record when Microsoft was being sued. Right. That's how we knew what the price was then.
Microsoft, I didn't know this. I thought update one, everybody knew about update one. I guess everybody didn't know, but Microsoft had never said anything about it. They finally have acknowledged it.
Yeah.
Mary Jo Foley.
That was actually a surprise. At Mobile World Congress, they, in their press conference said, hey, we've got an update coming out pretty soon, the spring update for Windows 8.1. And here are all the features, all of which we've already reported.
Did they call it a spring update?
Yeah, they called it the spring update.
Oh, okay. That obviates my question.
That gives you till March 22nd to, right, to release it.
Yeah. They're supposedly right on the edge of RTMing this. There are escrow bills that have leaked, so it's close. Yeah, they talked about the smaller footprint, which we knew about. It'll work on devices with 1 gig of RAM, 16 gigs of storage.
God, that's
they
amazing.
Talked about what else?
IE8
compatibility mode and IE11.
Yeah. Right. Yep. IE feature that we've also written about. It's like there was nothing new except the fact that Microsoft finally acknowledged it exists.
But it's interesting that you guys pretty much nailed the features.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't learn anything.
Yeah. Nothing new. Go on.
There's nothing new here.
They didn't name it, though, right? They didn't call it something.
They didn't call it update one. No,
yeah.
They didn't call it 8.2, which some people think is what they may call it. They didn't call it by a name. So
just the spring update. Maybe that's the name.
Could be the name.
Well, it's an update for Windows 8.1. I don't think they're going to call it 8.2. It's just
No.
Yeah, I don't think. I think that would be confusing.
Update.
Yeah.
Is it? Well, never mind. I don't want to talk anymore about this. It's a roll up.
Well, Paul was wondering. Since there's this update, is there going to be another one this year or not?
Well, the language I saw, and I didn't watch the event, so maybe that's possible to go back and look at it. But they basically called it the 2014 update for Windows 8.1, and I thought that's interesting.
Hmm.
Does that mean it's the only update for this year? I mean, I would be surprised if that were the case. I mean, obviously they have monthly opportunities to update the OS, and of course the apps will all be updated and all that stuff, but. It seems like update one is the type of thing they could do 2 to 3 times a year more, past this one. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah. The thing I've heard about that from some of my sources is, they were kind of on the fence. Should they do another update? And when, if they do another one, one or two, but I had heard if there were going to be one, it would probably just be one other update like this and maybe towards the fall.
Yeah. And that would make sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all we knew.
So, Mary Jo bought a phone.
Finally.
Yeah. And?
I did. And I bought...
Oh, the icon.
The icon. Yep.
And I could tell because it's big and it's square.
Huge.
Yeah, it's giant.
Big, square. Yeah.
Let me see the case. Can I see the back?
This is the Verizon only icon, which, it's thick.
Yep.
And you were worried that it might be too heavy for you. Have you built up some muscle or?
Okay, you guys are going to laugh when I say this. I have more muscle in my left arm after using this for a few days. I do. I noticed it today. In fact, I'm like, yep, my left arm is way stronger than it was a few days ago.
That's funny.
This phone, it's heavy, but everybody said to me, you'll get used to it if you keep using it. And I am getting used to it. I don't have to rest my hand.
Do not ever pick up the 8X again, ever.
I know. I did. And
it'll be like picking up a feather after using a medicine ball,
It was. It was. I picked it up. I'm like, woo.
I'm so glad for you. That's great.
Yeah. It's a really good phone. You know what? I've been using it since. I bought it on Friday last week, and I've been using it since. And it is a very good phone. really is great to have the extra screen real estate and the much nicer screen. It's faster. The one funny thing was I mentioned on the show last time that I was having some LTE issues, that I wasn't getting very good signal. And now I don't, you know, you never know if you should believe Verizon employees when you ask in a store like what's going on, right? So I went down to one of the more popular Verizon stores in Manhattan, in Midtown, and I showed them the phone, and I'm like, you know, what's up with the signal? And they said, oh, yeah, it's pretty much the same everywhere these days in New York. Because here's what they said. You guys tell me if it's true. They said the new cell towers they're building now are optimized for Google and Android and iPhones and not for BlackBerry.
No, they actually said that.
They said that.
Could that be true?
That's insidious.
That's insulting.
I looked at their phones in the store because they had some icons that were actually working in the Verizon store, and they only had a couple bars also. And they were in a totally different part of New York than where I am.
I think it's possible that the Android phones and the iPhones lie about their number of bars. They did, in fact, we know they changed the iPhone to show more signal strength.
Yeah. You know,
cellular technology.
I don't see how that could be true.
I know. It sounded so crazy, but I'm like, huh, really? The one thing I have noticed, though, is I'm getting service, even though I'm only on two bars here in my building. I now get a service in the elevators, which I never did with my 8X with all the bars of LTE. So, yeah, it's kind of arbitrary, I think.
I'm amazed they said that.
They did.
That's,
I just kind of stood there like, huh, like that sounds...
If Windows Phone comes and goes, one of the big stories about this platform is going to be how they were undercut by wireless carrier employees from day one.
I know.
It's really kind of incredible.
Oh, you don't want to buy that phone. It gets fewer bars in New York.
That's incredible. No,
they didn't discourage me at all, which was very good, actually, because I've had other times when they have. I just went in and I said, you know what, I'm interested in maybe buying this phone. And they were like, great, awesome. And they were displaying it. The salesperson knew a lot about the Lumia, and that was a good sign too. So
yeah, I feel like the logjam's going to break. Windows Phone is gonna come back, come back strong.
I hope you're right, Leo.
Yeah. Now, Paul, do you have an icon?
No, not yet. It's on the way. I kind of screwed it up because I went away. And then I got back and I said, okay, I'm ready for it. And they're like, yeah, we have a little bit of a problem now. So we'll get, you know, they're going to send one. But they're I'll get one.
And what is the comparable? Is it a 1020 or a 1520?
So there's no directly comparable phone. It's interesting to me that phone is clearly an update to the 928 in the sense that it's kind of a bricky kind of big phone. The closest thing we have, it's a little bit like the 1020, but it's got the camera from the 1520, which is the phablet, the big one. Mm-hmm. I have this over here. You know, if you look at this one for a phablet is not super thick. I mean, and it's got a little bit of a bump there for the camera. I had sort of anticipated that phone would be like this, just a little downsized, which I think would have been fantastic. So I'm surprised they went with yet another kind of new design on that device. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to experience it, but that's the way they do things. I don't know. I guess
it's got a nice camera.
Sure.
Yeah, you'll
what's
like
the camera?
15 megapixel camera.
I don't think that's. Nice. I think that's fine. I don't think you need more than that.
No, I think it's good. 1080p screen.
Nice screen, and it's a big screen. It's your biggest phone you've ever had, right?
It is by far.
Yeah.
Yep.
What is it? Five inches.
5 inches.
Yep. It's a nice phone. I wasn't quite sure I was going to do it, but I'm glad I did.
Good.
Yep.
Good. Finally, and I like this, Mary Jo writes the line. Twitch is coming to Xbox One. I have no idea what this means. I'm just typing words. I love that.
I knew we were supposed to talk about it, but I'm like, Paul's going to have to obviously just.
So it's not a huge story, but Microsoft had promised this Twitch integration with Xbox One and then at the last minute dropped it and said they would add it back in the first part of 2014. And so it's coming back. And what it basically is a way to for gamers to broadcast live their gameplay. And then you can also go into kind of a channel guide and watch other people play. You know, people can invite you to watch them and participate in their games and so forth. And so the only way we had to share these experiences until this happens is through the recording feature, which is cool in its own right. But this gives you that live experience. And so Twitch is an online service that's not Microsoft. It's available on the PlayStation 4.
Justin TV's company. And actually, it's turned out to be the biggest thing they've done. It's huge.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why anyone would want to watch people play video games, but...
Hey, Paul, every day I go home and I say, did Paul upload anything new from Call of Duty?
Yeah, yeah.
And I go and I watch your kills.
I have some awesome... I have an awesome one I just put up with this goon was camping and I... put a bomb on the other side of the wall from him and blew it up and it killed him through the wall, which is kind of an awesome James Bond move. That was good. So I recorded that.
And then the fun thing on this game, I think, is that you then, as the guy who was just killed, and you're going, what the hell happened? I don't know, because I'm just...
You could go watch it, yeah.
You go watch it from Paul's point of view, and you go, oh, that son of a gun.
Yeah. The cheaper, the better, Leo, is my theory. Video games,
really?
Video games.
Really? So your goal is to kill for as little as possible.
I want to make sure that I don't hear it. You know, I wish I did, but I want the reaction to be the other guy going, mother. You know, how did that happen?
God knows you've said that enough times now. So
yeah. Oh yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Hey, our show today is brought to you. We're going to get to our tips, our tool, our number, whatever it is we do on this show, because I can never remember. Every show has its own unique back of the book. But I'll just say this. The back of the book is next on Windows Weekly. Our tip of the week, our software pick of the week, our enterprise pick of the week, our beer of the week, and Paul Thurrott is going to sneak in an Audible pick, even though there's no Audible ad. That's how good Paul is. But first, a word from Personal Capital. Something I've been using since its founder and CEO, Bill Harris, was on Triangulation. Yeah, it's almost 2 years ago now. Bill was the former CEO of Intuit and PayPal. So he'd seen what people did with their money. He saw, you know, exactly what could go wrong. And he thought there ought to be a better way, a way that you could take all those accounts, you know, your mortgage, your loans, your credit cards, your checking, your savings, and most importantly, your investments, and see how they're doing all in one place without having to log into 15 different websites. And furthermore, if you're paying for a financial advisor, how to pay less to get those investments up to snuff. And I have to say, this is where Personal Capital really shines. One login, one sign-in, beautiful real-time graphs to show you exactly how your money is going, how it's working for you. It'll show you how much you're overpaying, if you are, in fees and how to reduce those fees. You even get tailored advice on optimizing your investments. You put your money to work. Go to personalcapital.com/windows right now. Best of all, this is all free. personalcapital.com/windows and sign up today for free. And you're going to get great financial advice, great information. Start building your nest egg today. personalcapital.com/windows. Leo Laporte with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. We're talking about Windows, and it's that time of the show where we do the back of the book, the tip of the week.
Yeah, I actually have two tips. The second one kind of came in at the last second, but Microsoft is going to soon start selling a Xbox One bundle, which includes Titanfall. Actually, it's a code for Titanfall, but it basically, it's the same price as just buying the standalone console. So, in effect, what you're getting is the $60 game that everybody apparently wants for free.
And you're skeptical. You don't think this game is anything special.
I think it's fine. I think it's good. I don't think it's going to change everything. I don't think it's going to draw a bunch of people to the platform. I don't. You know, is it going to be, you know, Gears of War again? Or it's not going to be. I don't think it's Halo or Call of Duty. you know, is it going to be Battlefield? Is it going to be Medal of Honor? Is it going to be Gears? You know, something like that. Right. Maybe. I don't know. You know, I love video games and I get the whole platform thing, but I think one of the worst things as a gamer or just as a user about video games are these platform exclusives. It's too bad, you know, that you have to buy another hardware device to buy, you know, play a specific game. So, oh well. Anyway, I do think a lot of people want it. And if you haven't gotten an Xbox One, it turns out it pays to wait. Yeah. So,
wish I had. Yeah. But now let me ask you this, because I did download and play the Titanfall beta for the 3 minutes that it allowed me to play.
Mm-hmm.
And should I erase that and start over?
No, it's a different app. I mean, you can erase it. I
can't do anything with it. So yeah, so do erase.
Well, you never know. They may turn it on another weekend or something. But
all right. I kind of enjoyed Titanfall, but it is very much like Call of Duty with mechs, is kind of what Paul described it as.
Yeah, and it's online, or I should say multiplayer only, which is fine. I mean, I think that's all people do in Call of Duty anyway.
Right.
But,
hey, let me ask you this. Is the Xbox One, a lot of people are writing it off now saying it's a bust. It's too soon to say that.
Yeah, it's too soon. It's too soon. And the other thing is, you know, if you look back over the various console generations, you know, the number two player in any console generation is not necessarily like a disaster. I mean, sometimes it can be, but you know, if you're talking about like the Sega Genesis or the Super Nintendo, I mean, both of those things were very popular. You know, 32-bit consoles, I mean, I think the PlayStation kind of kicked everything around that was there at that time. But, you know, the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3 were roughly as popular as each other or sold as much as each other. You know, it's not a disaster. I mean, I think asking people to spend $500 on a piece of hardware that sits in their living room is kind of tough, or in some kid's bedroom, you know.
Yeah,
I think
It has been slow to sell, it's the price.
Yeah, I think the price hurts.
But I don't think either the PlayStation 4 or the Xbox One have any titles that are compelling yet.
No, they both launched with garbage. They're both expensive for whatever that's worth. I do think there's $100 worth of difference in the Xbox One. I think not just the hardware, but the and by the hardware I mean the Kinect, but the just the whole, you know, approach they have to multimedia and all that stuff. I mean, I think there's more going on there. But, you know, whatever. I guess we'll see. I mean, the PlayStation 4 is about to launch in Japan, isn't it? So
yeah,
it could get worse, you know, before it gets better. So
yeah, I'm still bullish on it. Now, the other thing that people complain about is the lack of resolution compared to a PlayStation 4. And Titanfall is an example. It's, I think, a 720p, or maybe it's like some middle ground.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know. This is a complaint that has dogged video games for a long time. You know, I think it was Halo 3 when that came out. There was some kind of a controversy because it wasn't even HD. It was you know, 853 by 480 or some crazy resolution.
That way you get better frame rates.
Yeah. And I don't know. You know, a lot of the graphics comparisons so far, current generation games that run on both platforms, there's no difference, and that may change over time, obviously. But I think the big differences are going to be seen in the platform exclusives, that the people who target PlayStation specifically are going to be involved with just that kind of platform, and they'll know a lot about it, and they'll be able to do whatever they do. But you're going to see that on the Xbox as well. And so I don't think that was supposedly the big issue with the PS3 versus the Xbox 360. It did 1080p, and the Xbox didn't. Microsoft was able to rectify that, and I know over the course of that platform, you cannot say, oh yeah, the PlayStation 3 kicked the, you know, the Jesus out of the Xbox. That's not true. They were graphically comparable, so I think it's going to be like that.
And your other tip of the week?
Yeah, this is the one that just came in, and this may be U.S. only. I apologize if that's the case. I know I'm hearing from a lot of people from around the world that this isn't working in their particular locale, and it may be because Bing Rewards is not available everywhere. But if you're in Bing Rewards, and if you're not, you can join for free. And actually, as part of my tip, you can get 200 Bing Reward credits for free. You can get an additional 100 gigabytes of additional OneDrive storage for 1 year for free. And that's interesting because you can't – well, it's interesting on a number of levels. First of all, if you sign up, there's a way to sign up and get 200 points. So you can – it's just free. You can make it last beyond a year. If you have more than 100 points, you can keep adding these to your account. I've done it twice. And so instead of adding 200 gigs, it adds 100 gigs for 2 years. If you do three, it does 3 years, 4 years, et cetera. And I've heard from several people now who have done, well, I think one guy said he went to 2020 and one guy is out to 2021 or whatever. But people have been stacking these repeatedly. So that works. And so that's kind of a neat thing. And, you know, when we talk about tying people to the platform, you know, obviously this is one way to do it. Get people to put all their important data in the cloud storage, and then, you know, they'll stick with the cloud storage. So I use OneDrive every single day. I mean, I think OneDrive is fantastic. And I use it typically through the OS integration. But, yeah, this is, I was paying for this. So this is like a way for me to save, you know, $50 a year.
Yeah, cool. So there's links on Paul's page if you go to the super site for Windows, winsupersite.com.
Yeah.
And I just followed the link to go to the 200-point sign-up thing, and now I've got enough points to get.
Yeah, and I don't do a lot with this, but I guess, you know, the way Bing Rewards works is it's like any rewards program. By using the product, you get rewards point or credits. And I actually don't have that many. I had a couple, like 800-something points. But there are people out there who have, you know, tens of thousands of points. And
wow.
You just browse, you know, you search on Bing. You know, you do these kind of Bing-related activities. You can set Bing as your homepage. You get some points, you know. Or credits, I should say. So I guess it's not that hard to rack these things up. And, you know, you can get Amazon gift certificates. There are different things you can redeem. But this is a particularly good one from the sense that for a low number of points, you get something of value, you know, $50. It's pretty, it's up there. It's a good value.
All right. Cool. And I just entered a sweepstakes to win an Xbox One. Nice. That's pretty darn exciting right there. Thank you, Bing Rewards.
Yeah.
Our software pick of the week.
So Microsoft this week released Office 2013 Service Pack 1, and Service Pack 1 releases for Exchange, SharePoint, standalone Office apps like Visio and Project. The odd thing about it is, and I when I first saw this, I of course my natural reaction, because I install everything like an idiot, was to go install it, and it wouldn't install on any of my PCs. The standalone downloaders that you can get told me that this application was not for my computer. You know, which I at first thought was maybe a 32-bit / 64-bit screw-up or whatever. But actually, as it turns out, the standalone installer that's available now is only for the standalone versions of Office 2013, which is not, I don't know this for a fact, but it's not necessarily the mainstream way that most people install Office anymore. It's kind of the old-fashioned way of getting Office. So if you got Office on a Windows RT computer, you can go to Windows Update and get the Service Pack 1 update right now, I believe. If you bought Office 2013... you can get it. But if you have Office 365 Home Premium or Office 365 any business version, it's actually not available now. And I honestly, that's kind of the opposite of how this is supposed to work. I mean, the point of having an Office 365 subscription is that you're always up to date. I don't know, Mary Jo, do you know, have they said when to expect that?
They said in your next update, you're going to get Service Pack 1 features and functionality. But you know what? You know what I wonder, and I've asked them this and I haven't heard back yet, is if you already have most of what's in Service Pack 1 as somebody who subscribes.
You'll just get some minor updates.
Right.
Not a Service Pack 1.
Right.
Like the full-blown thing.
No, because you've been getting the security updates all along if you're a subscriber.
Yeah, but you'll get the new OneDrive for Business, and they noted a few additional features, so there's got to be other stuff.
Yeah, there's
you know,
not
Office
a whole
365,
lot.
It kind of streams in over time or whatever.
Right, yeah.
You get prompted, but when's the next update?
All they said is when your next update arrives, and you know,
July.
For everybody, that's different too, right?
Yeah.
Like different people get it at different times.
All right, so I know that I will hear from someone who has Office 365 and they get it, so I'm curious about that. I have heard from people, a couple people now, who have kind of forced the update. I have not looked into what that entails because I want to get it naturally so I can write about that. But
I
think it's a little weird.
Run, click to run, people already are getting it or have gotten
it. Oh, they are. Some of them are?
Yes. Yes, some of
them are. That's Office 365. Or
yeah,
could
so
be
some people are saying they've got it.
Okay.
Yep.
I do not.
Okay. So. I think they kept you're going to be the last one to get it, and everyone's going to get it for
right,
you.
Right. I shouldn't have written that scathing review.
Shouldn't have.
Oh, well.
No.
Awesome. And now moving on to Mary Jo Foley and her Enterprise pick of the week.
So my Enterprise pick of the week is another update that Microsoft released this week, which is Visual Studio 2013 Update 2, CTP2. That's a name only your mother could love. What it is second technology preview of the second update that Microsoft's making to Visual Studio 2013. But the part of this that makes this really interesting is Microsoft is now integrating TypeScript right into Visual Studio as of this update. TypeScript, as enterprise users and developers may recall, is Microsoft's superset of JavaScript that they've been building. They've been working on this for like 2 or 3 years. Anders Heilsberg, who's the father of C#, is the leader on the team doing this. And what TypeScript lets you do is write programs that you typically use JavaScript for, but you use TypeScript instead. And instead of being able to write little 100-line programs, now you can write programs of thousands of lines using this technology. And Microsoft itself is using this internally. They've used it, to build the Xbox Music UI, at least some parts of it. Some different projects in Bing are using it. They wouldn't say which ones. The F12 Tools team and Internet Explorer is using it. And some third parties are using it too. They said Adobe's using elements of it in their digital publishing suite. So this version of TypeScript that's in this release is not quite finished. It's the release candidate, but they're almost done. I'd say they're probably going to be done in the next couple of months with this. So CTP 2 is just one of the last test builds that'll probably come out before they do the final update 2 to Visual Studio 2013.
It does compile down to standard JavaScript, I hope.
It compiles down.
Because the last thing we need is another incompatible version.
I believe, you know what? I know this and I'm forgetting it.
Right. I'm sure it must.
They should call it JScript.
I know it compiles. Yeah, it must, right?
I don't know.
Some people in the chat room say TypeScript rock, and others say, yes, it does. It's merely a preprocessor. There are a lot of JavaScript preprocessors. Yeah. That's harmless. Yeah. What you don't want is a new flavor of JavaScript. That would be not so good.
Yeah.
Good. So, yeah, in fact, this does.
TypeScript is a type superset of JavaScript compiles down to plain JavaScript. Right.
That's what you want.
I should have just known that, but no.
Well, now you do. If somebody asks you that next time, you say, oh, yes, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Of course. What are you crazy? Our code name of the week.
Code name of the week is Golden Gate. And this is actually a pretty cool code name. This is the code name for something Microsoft's already given us the official name for, which is Express Route. And what this technology is, it's a way to network your private cloud with the Azure public cloud. Microsoft has a couple different ways you can do this. If you do it over the internet, the code name for that piece of technology is Brooklyn. Get it? The Brooklyn Bridge. And now this is the Golden Gate Bridge. This is the cloud to on-prem network connectivity that doesn't go over the internet. It goes over a dedicated network that doesn't use the internet. And they're partnering with a few different companies to enable this. They already got deals with Equinix, AT&T, and Level 3, who are all going to help you if you're a customer who doesn't want to risk going over the public network to connect your cloud and Azure to do it over a private network. Mm. Right now, it's in a public preview, this Express Route / Golden Gate technology. It just came out last week in a bunch of the Azure updates that Microsoft released, and we don't have a final date for it, but they're working on it and adding more partners.
Very cool.
Yep.
And you might just have a beer for us, I'm thinking.
I might. You know, I haven't done a hoppy beer in a while. I've been trying to play down the hops.
You've done nothing but hoppy beers.
Define hoppy, Mary Jo.
Well, now we're going to go full hops today. We're going to do an Imperial IPA as the beer pick of the week from a company in Connecticut called New England Beer Company. And the beer is called Gandhi Bot.
Their label is
awesome.
It's a robot Gandhi.
It is. Yeah, and it's weird. It's really weird, but the beer is really delicious. It's kind of, to me, like a hybrid East Coast, West Coast Imperial IPA. It's hoppy, but not over-the-top killer hoppy like a lot of West Coast double IPAs. And it's citrusy, but not too citrusy. It's kind of like a good interim Imperial IPA, if you like that style. And the best part of the story of this beer pick is I couldn't get this beer in New York because it's made in Connecticut, but they don't distribute it here. But there was a Windows Weekly listener named Pete who said he really wanted me to try it. So yesterday he brought it from Connecticut and handed it off to me so that I could try it.
Isn't that
sweet? How awesome is that? I know.
Wow.
Yep.
So
dedicated listeners.
I gather that the Gandhi is because the I in IPA is India Pale Ale.
Yeah, I would think that might be it.
What do you call it? Palate aggressive?
I would not. You might. I would not.
Swift.
Like a cheese grater on your tongue.
No. It's a delicious bouquet of citrus flavors.
Oh, wow.
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 You're like the Samantha Brown of like beer
yum, yum. Advertising. Now I want two bottles.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. New England Beer Company's Gandhi Bot. I double hopped IPA. Now, we don't normally do an audible pick when there's no audible ad, but I agree with this one, so I'm going to give Paul an extra minute to talk about Influx.
Yeah, this is Daniel Suarez's fourth book. Obviously, he wrote Demon, Freedom TM, and Kill Decision. The first two books are combined. You know, they're one story, a story with the same characters. And are among the best books I've ever read in my entire life.
Agreed.
Kill Decision was good, but the first two are just amazing. I'm only partway through this. I've spoken about this book already with a few friends who have read it. It starts a little slow, and I thought, wow, this is really going nowhere. And then it goes off in some direction that's absolutely wonderful. And so if you like this kind of techno-thriller, kind of a Michael Crichton-type story.
A lot of science. It's good.
Yep. And an awesome kind of alternate reality. I should say alternate history kind of thing, which I think is just wonderful and really, really well done. Some neat nods to video game stuff. I don't want to ruin any of it, but it's pretty amazing. I'm not done, so I don't know if it holds up to Demon or Freedom, but it's
might
quite,
be his
quite
best
good.
Ever. And you should watch our triangulation episode from Monday because Daniel was our guest in studio. And he's always great. I love Daniel.
Yeah, he clearly is the new Crichton. I mean,
and you know, he's a really nice guy. I'm very honored to call him a friend.
Oh.
And he's just the greatest guy.
And I should say, so his previous books, I just read the books. I just looked while Mary Jo was talking about this beer that makes me want to not drink ever again. But I was, I actually own audible versions of his other books.
Mm-hmm.
I never listened to them though, and now I'm going to go back and do it.
You should.
The reason is the guy who narrates every one of these books is incredible. And I don't know if there's a lot of this stuff in the other books. I'm very curious about this now, but they do neat kind of effects. He does voices, you know, which can be terrible, but is actually
he's
so
good.
Far in this
His
book.
His Varuna great. Is so good.
There's kind of a computer AI thing that occurs in this book. And is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, so the effect that they give it is mm-hmm. very distinct. You know, it's a computerized, it's got like almost like a reverb or mm-hmm. kind of effect to it. It's really, really well
done.
They
do it in the other books too.
And
another reason to watch The Triangulation because Daniel brought Jeff Gerner, the guy who reads his books in.
Oh, that's great. So they must, I don't know if they're friends or they just work together, whatever it is.
I don't know either.
They're clearly a great team. I mean, Daniel Suarez is amazing. And the guy who does the narration is amazing.
So you get to meet him, but listen to watch the video because he reads an excerpt from Influx out loud. And it's such an amazing thing to watch the transformation he goes through as he's doing it. It was, I think, one of my favorite triangulations.
It's really notable. Fun. You know, yeah, I mean, there were some good audible readings over the years. I mean, this is one of the best ones. It's really good.
Oh, I'm glad you... Oh, I'm sorry, Mary Jo. She has no interest. I'm showing her pictures.
No, I do. You know what? Paul got me to read the first two Daniel Suarez books.
And
I don't usually read that genre at all, and I love them. I, devoured both of them. Yep.
Yep.
All right. Well,
those are, like I said, those are among the best books I've ever read.
Yeah. You can see actually Jeff Gerner's particular little bit of that show as a twit bit at youtube.com/InsideTwit, I think, is where we put those. So,
okay.
Or in youtube.com/twit. So really, really good. Really, really happy. Yeah, I agree with you, Paul. Great book. I told Daniel, I think this is your best book yet.
And by the way, you know, this is just kind of an odd thing. I had pre-ordered this because I, you know, found out some weeks or months ago that it was coming out. Forgot about it, you know. And while I was away last week, it arrived. But it arrived on a Thursday. Don't books come out on Tuesday or
DVDs come out?
I just thought that was kind of a weird. It came out on a Thursday. I just thought that was kind of odd.
It came out on the Thursday the 20th. Yeah, that was the date on it.
I don't know if I don't know why.
That's exactly what it
says. They probably wanted to get it out ahead of Titanfall.
It's exactly what it says on my pre-release copy, not for sale, February 20th. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I see, I don't want to keep this, though, this paperback, although it's historic, because Daniel said after this came out, he made some changes.
Oh,
so
really?
This is an alternate reality version.
Right, right.
Uncorrected proof, please do not quote for publication without checking.
This thing starts off so uninteresting. I thought, my God, this is what happened here. And then it goes through some flips and flops, and you're like, oh, this is crazy. Like, and if you know, Mary Jo read Freedom, you know, From Demon to Freedom is very interesting because Demon is this crazy, amazing story. And you think, how could they possibly do this again? And then Freedom just jacks it up like times 10.
It does.
And it's crazy. It's so awesome. And this book kind of does a little bit of that, where it starts off as a very, you know, pedestrian kind of story. You're like, oh, there's nothing really going on here. And then it just goes off in this awesome direction. It's really neat. Yeah, it's so far, you know, I haven't finished it, but it's so far.
You'll like it. Good ending.
Amazing.
Paul Thurrott is at the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. He also writes books, lots of them. Two of them are online right now. Windows 8.1.
Actually, you know, I should tell you, it's not completely finished, but I basically finished the Windows 8.1 book.
Awesome.
I have a little bit of, you know, editing and front matter type stuff to do, but it's
Windows 8.1book.com. You can go right there and buy
kinda
it.
Kind of limped to the finish line.
And but if you're doing Windows 8.1, you need it. And then there's the music book. What is that?
Xbox Music.
I never can remember.
I don't have a URL for that. It's just at the Win Super site right now.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah, I gotta get one URL for the books.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
OneMicrosoftBooks.com.
There you go. Nice. Mary Jo Foley writes about Microsoft all the time, like more than once a day at allaboutmicrosoft.com. And it's a great place to get scoops and information. And Hadoop, we thank you both for being here each and every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC, if you want to watch live. If not, on-demand audio and video available always of all of our shows after the fact at twit.tv. In this case, twit.tv/WW or youtube.com/windowsweekly. And subscribe in your Xbox Music player or your new podcast app on your Windows phone, and you can get it each and every week and never miss an episode, which is my strong recommendation. Of course, I'm biased. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.